Let us turn again to the part of God's word which we read together. Psalm 119, and let us consider now verse 9, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Psalm 119, and at verse 9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. So the psalmist here is asking, with what shall a young man cleanse his way? A young man, a youth, no doubt there's considerable flexibility in the way that we can understand a young man. But what will he use? With what will he cleanse his way? With what will he make it clean? With what will he keep it clean? And it would seem that both ideas are included there, both making it clean and keeping it clean. And the answer is, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. By taking heed to his way, in the light of the word of God, we might illustrate it. In the light of the word of God, that's a standard. That's what we're to take as our standard. The word of God. And no doubt we are to apply this particularly to young men and young women, to boys and girls. How will those who are still at school, for instance, how will they have a clean way through life? A way that will end in everlasting glory. You want to get to heaven, surely. How will you get to heaven? What kind of way will you go on so that you will end in the blessedness of heaven? By taking heed to your way according to the word of God. Now that's just a brief answer. Someone might come along and say, surely we need the Holy Spirit. Yes, of course. But the psalmist isn't giving a huge long answer here. He's just summing up in a nutshell one particular aspect of the matter. There's many other threads we can draw in from the rest of Scripture. It's not a complete answer, but it has the seeds of a complete answer. And so, first of all, I would like to explore a bit further who is this being addressed to. Who are to take heed to their ways according to the word of God? And secondly, I want to expand on the directions that are given by taking heed thereto according to thy word, according to God's word, according to the scripture. These two main points we will try and bring in many other points as we go along. But having our thoughts centered on the words of our text, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. First, who should take heed to their way? And then second, the directions to be followed. Well, one can give many answers, many good answers, many appropriate answers to many a question. And we can say that about the questions we find in the Word of God. There might be many answers. And the questions we might ask ourselves and we might ourselves ask in relation to the Word of God. And this questions just now, who should take heed to their ways? And the first answer I'm going to give is this: everyone should. In particular, our attention is drawn to this, that young men and young women, sure, they're both equally included here. They, in particular, should give heed to their ways, so that they might have a clean way. But all should give heed to their ways. All should take heed to their ways according to the Word of God. The fact is that all have sinned. All have sinned in Adam. All are coming short of the glory of God. And you find David making the confession in Psalm 51. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive. That's his confession. Is his ours. And if we have to make this confession, if we have to say, I was shapen in iniquity, I was formed in my mother's womb, I was formed in sin. I took my form from the very beginning of my existence. I had a sinful nature, and even while it was true that I did not have, that's what we're to be saying, even when it was true that I did not have the capacity to sin, still, I had a sinful nature. I inherited a sinful nature. So, I need to cleanse my way. I need to take heed to that way according to the Word of God. And God is commanding all men everywhere to repent. We're sinners. And whatever our background, whether we have been brought up under the gospel or not, and Paul was speaking to the people in Athens, it's to them he addressed these words that they are recorded in the Word of God. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That command is going out to the whole world, not confined to Israel anymore, but going out to the whole world with the command. It's going out to sinners everywhere. It's going out with the word, with the command to repent, to turn from our sins, to turn to the living God who has made himself known to sinners through Christ Jesus. And there is this added to focus our minds on the command to repent, the command to turn from our sins, that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, that man whom he has appointed, Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners, and he will come the second time and bring everyone to judgment. There's a judgment to come. And the sooner we confront that, the sooner we take that thought seriously, the better. We are to go to be judged. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. That's God's warning to us. God's warning. Yeah. And shouldn't we be saying, isn't it good we have the warning? People will want to disbelieve it and put it away. They don't want their life disturbed. They want to go and enjoy themselves. They want to go and live as if there was no eternity, and certainly not a lost eternity. They want to live as if there was no judgment. They want even to live as if there was no death. To assume that's the implication of the way so many people live, that they're assuming that there will be no death. Are you facing up to the reality of death? We're to live, each one of us is to live life in a clean way. And that's a contrast with the defilement caused by sin. Sin causes defilement. How shall a young man cleanse his way? How will an old man cleanse his way? How will an old woman cleanse her way? Because the way needs to be cleansed. Sin needs to be addressed. We need to be put right, sinners that we are. How? We need to live a godly life. See the way Paul sums things up. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or work or relax, whether you're preparing food or eating it, whether you're working in one way or the other, you are to live to the glory of God. That's describing a clean way of living. Living to God's glory. I might ask, are we doing that? But what I'll ask is this. Are we even beginning to do that? Are we even beginning to live to God's glory? Do we feel the authority of God's law? Do we feel the authority of the one who is seeing into our hearts, looking on us, seeing what we say, seeing what we do, but seeing what we think, seeing our inward reaction to his word this evening, whether ye eat or drink or listen to the word? Are we doing it to the glory of God? Are we saying no? Certainly not fully to the glory of God. Far from. May the Lord cleanse us. Are you coming to that? Are you feeling your need of that? The power of God. The blessed power of God. The infinite power of God to save sinners, to cleanse their ways. Yes. Now you think of your need. Yes, there's an answer given here. And we'll come to that, God willing. Yeah, but there's this matter, that the Lord would work in it so that we would want to live to the glory of God. Now, it is good for young people to begin to cleanse their way while they are young. And parents have a responsibility in that connection. As you read in the book of Proverbs, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the general principle. If he's been trained up in the way that he should go. But there's this. If he is brought in such a way there's the parents' teaching, there's the parents' discipline, and there's the parents' prayers. The Lord hears prayer. Remember that, parents. The Lord, you can look to the Lord to hear your prayers for your children as you try to train them up in the way that they should go. But you see, there's a stress to be put in this matter of beginning in the way of life early. Beginning in the way, in the Christian life early. The parents have a responsibility. The children have a responsibility. Yes. So, if we turn our focus just now to the young people, I've been answering I've been pointing to this matter as relevant to all of us here, that we might live a clean life, that we might live a godly life. But you see, this verse is speaking particularly to young people, even to children. And let us bear in mind that then, apart from grace, apart from God's saving work, the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul, apart from that, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. You see, if sin is unrestrained, then the natural tendency of human nature is to get worse and worse. So the restraint of parents, that's important. And even more important is that prayer would be answered for Jesus' sake. Prayer for these children, prayer for these young people, that they would grow up in the ways that are right. That they would grow up walking on the narrow way that leads to life. And you can see the psalmist's looking back on his past life in the light of the present. I'm going back to Psalm 71 just now. When he says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. Thou hast taught me from my youth. And no doubt what he means is, thou hast taught me effectively from my youth. Thou hast blessed with saving blessings from when I was young, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, he says, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not. Now I am getting old, he is saying, and I have had thy blessing. You could think of David speaking like that, though he is not named as the author of the psalm, but it certainly, if it's in, it was what we know of David. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, forsake me not. If thou didst meet with me, he is saying, as it were, if thou didst meet with me when I was young, if thou didst give me grace to cleanse my way, thou didst give me grace to take heed thereto according to thy word. Yes. And now, carry on in that same way of giving me grace. When I am old and grey-headed, forsake me not. See what David has to pray. Assuming it was David, we can't do more than that. He says, continue in the way that thou hast been doing already. He doesn't need to pray, begin to do so now. What he has to say is, continue. Is that not a good position to be? Especially when we have the promise that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But you see, if we are still in that condition, that the imagination of our heart, the thinking of our heart, is still evil as the years shall pass, as we're getting old, if that is still the case, then you see, the danger is that we will pass away into a lost eternity. You have it at verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Thou hast rebuked, and perhaps they're still going on in the same way. That's the line of thought I am trying to follow at this moment. Thou hast rebuked the proud. Yes, and they're still proud. Proud enough to despise the warnings that God has given. Proud enough to go on heedless of the invitations of Christ. Is that describing yourself, whatever age you are? But you see, there's a fearful rebuke. Oh, what a rebuke. I think we can use the word when we come to the judge and the Lord who would have saved sinners if they had come. And what he has to say to them from the judgment seat after all the relevant evidence has been led against them. He says, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That's the point. The Lord has made the appointment. Have you looked at the appointment as far as you are concerned yourself? You see, you might get an appointment card through the post. You might put it away with much other junk mail that comes through your letterbox. But if the appointment matters to you, you will not act like that. You will pick it out, though there would be half a dozen items or more of junk mail as well. You will pick this thing out and you will say, it's important. I must put it somewhere safe. I must put it where I will notice it. I must keep thinking about it so that I will not forget. Here's an important appointment. The appointment is pointed out again and again to you in the preaching of the word. Do you put it somewhere in your memory? Do you think about it again and again? There's an appointment. The appointment has been made, and all I've been told is that I will be brought to judgment. I will die, and I will be brought to judgment. I could be picked up at any time and brought to judgment. I'm trying to follow through a picture. And by being brought up and picked up, what I'm really thinking of is a vehicle coming to your door and picking you up to take you to some appointment. Well, think of what corresponds to that. Death comes to your door. Death comes to your house. Death comes to you and takes your soul away from your body. At least that's what will happen. An appointment has been made. And you will be brought in due course to judgment. Are you ready? Have you gathered your things, so to speak? If you were to be picked up and taken to hospital, you would have to gather some things, put them in a bag or something, and take them with you. Have you gathered up your things? And what do I mean? What am I picturing? What's the spiritual application of gathering up your things? Have you got Christ? Have you got grace in your heart? Have you gone to ask, Lord, give me Christ. Lord, give me grace. Forgive me my sins. Lord, justify me freely by thy grace. You see, we're to be picking up our things. And it's only a very rough illustration, but I think you can see the applicability. Yes, even young people, even those recently out of school and those still in school, here is something that is still relevant for you. You do not know when you will die. It might be sooner rather than later. You don't know. But whatever else, it would be good to be read. Surely it would be good to be read. And if you would be ready, and let us just remind ourselves of the other part of the verse just now, or from both halves of the verse, if you would be ready, you must be cleansing your way, you must be taking heed to it according to God's word. And the other thing is that you might, if you delay finding Christ, seeking Christ, then even if the Lord was to be very gracious to you at a later time and bring you to himself, you've wasted a lifetime. A lifetime when you might have been useful in the cause of Christ. When in that particular way you might have glorified God. A wasted life. Yes, but you see, what a blessing it is when people are brought in when they are young. There's so much more time to pray in a believing way. There's so much more time to be living epistles, known and read of all men, to be an example to others. Yes. And what a curse it is to be going through this world not living in a way that is a good example to others, in a way that is dangerous to themselves. We are told that it's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and then thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right. The way of entertain. The way of, well, let me just add, a book title comes to mind. Entertaining Ourselves to Death. I can't remember what kind of man wrote it. I don't think he's a godly man. But he's hit at least one nail in the head there. Entertaining ourselves to death. Is that not a very suitable epitaph for this generation? And if we expand a little, is there not this serious side particularly said, entertaining ourselves to eternal death. Life is serious. Yes, death is serious, but life is serious. That we are to live to the glory of God. Oh, how serious it is when people are not living to the glory of God. When they're living and seeking their own glory, their own enjoyment. That's all that matters. That they would be happy. They forget. They never knew, perhaps, that the way to happiness is by the cross of Christ. By looking into Jesus. The way to eternal safety, yes. But even to have God's blessing and health during this life. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end of that way, it seems right. Living for oneself. Living perhaps for success in the world. Living to make a name for themselves in this world. Living to earn the applause of others. But it's in the end, it comes to death. It comes to eternal death. And let me draw your attention to these words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 11. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. But know this, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. Cleanse thy ways, he means. Rejoice, O young man, O young woman, in thy youth. It's irony. You're not to take it according to the natural sense of the words. You've got to look behind. What does he really mean? He really means this. If you go on in that way, if you're just thinking your own worldly and godly thoughts, then for all these things, God will bring thee to judgment. And what can you expect in the judgment if you've lived an ungodly life? What can you expect in the judgment if you have not sought the Lord? If you have not cried to Him? If you have not called upon Him for Jesus' sake? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful. God, show me kindness, though I am not worthy of it. Most definitely not. I have sinned. I deserve thy wrath and curse forever. But God be merciful. How much, how earnestly you are encouraged to think in that way. But let us notice this more specifically. The directions to be followed. We've pointed to some things along these lines already. We're to be taking heed to our way according to the word of God. The word of God, for God has spoken. God has spoken clear. Yes, there are many verses in the word of God that are more difficult to understand. But as far as this great central matter just now is concerned, this matter of finding the way of salvation, there's much that is clear. Much that is obvious. And you see, there's something else related to that, which is that God will be inquired of to make the truth clear to our souls. Yes, God will be inquired of. God would have us ask Him. When you find something difficult in the Word of God, do you just switch off? Do you just shut your Bible and say, well, I can't make anything of it. I can't, there's so much I can't understand. And you go away and you go back to your worldliness. I will be inquired of, is the Lord's answer to you, if that's what you're often doing. This is the will of God for you, that you would inquire of, that you would ask him. Come now, he says. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You've got something to say. Well, say it to him. Tell him. You're invited to do so. Tell him difficulty understanding. Tell him that you're having difficulty concentrating. Tell him the worst about yourself. He knows it already. But tell it to him, asking him to bless the word to your soul, to give you light on it. God is able to illuminate his word, to shine light into your soul in connection with the word of God, so that you would get good. Wouldn't that be desirable? Oh, the Lord is willing to hear the cry, sinners who have been careless, come now, he says, and let us reason together. How bad a sinner will he take? How bad a sinner, a wicked a sinner will he receive? Well, here's an answer to that question too. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they should be as wool. Yes, come to Christ. Come through the word of God. By what? Or with what shall a young man cleanse his way? Through the scriptures, through the directions of the scriptures. The psalmist says at verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I am trying to take in what thou hast said, in the hope that it will have a blessed influence on me, in the hope, we might say, that the Holy Spirit will give me light on it, that the Holy Spirit will apply to my soul. I've been hiding thy word in my heart. I've been reading it. I've been trying to memorize it. I've been trying to understand it. Yes. In the hope that thou wilt bless it to me. The more you know of the word of God, the easier it should be for you to think over it. You may be doing something and it doesn't occupy your mind to any great extent. And you can think on these things as you go about whatever task it is. Yes. And the Savior was saying to his disciples, now are ye clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. They had been cleansed in connection with the word. The Holy Spirit had come to them. The Holy Spirit had come to them and applied the word. You see, we're here. We have the word of God. We've been reading. You've been hearing something being said. You've heard various verses being quoted. That's not the end of the matter. We need the Holy Spirit to apply it to our souls. Yes. That's what's assumed in the answer that the psalmist gives. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We're to take heed. Will we take heed? Do we take heed? Well, if the Holy Spirit will bless it to us, we should be asking for that. Thy quickening spirit thou sendest forth. David was saying, it's in Psalm 143. Well, so many of these things, perhaps I've said it already on one of the other days. But you see, The statement can be turned into a petition. Thy quickening spirit thou sendest forth. And we can ask, Lord, send forth thy life-giving spirit. Are you coming to the end of your own resources, perhaps? You've been trying to seek the Lord, trying to cleanse your way. And you're perhaps feeling that you're not getting anywhere. You feel your sins. Or you're at least some distant, feeble consciousness of the seriousness of sin. Ah well, send forth thy quickening spirit, that I might get a sense of the authority of God's word when I read it, when I hear it. Lord, bless it to me. Do not leave me to myself. Bless the word. Come. Not looking to yourself, not looking to the strength of your own prayers, not looking to anything in yourself, looking away from yourself to Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, who laid such a wonderful foundation. You see, the foundation stone, as you have that in Isaiah, and referred to more than once in the New Testament. Isaiah 28, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Christ, you see. Christ is the one who died. Christ is the one who kept the law as a substitute for sinners. That it might be put to the account, his law keeping, that it might be put to the account of sinners. Yes. He's a sure foundation on which you must lay the whole weight of your guilty soul in view of eternity. Yes. And that's a foundation that's been laid inside where the temple was. So we can say that foundation has been laid in the church of God. And he that believeth shall not be cast. What does that mean? Well, think of those who, when the door was shut, were saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. They were making haste. They had to make haste to go and buy oil. At the wrong time, completely. It was too late. But they were making haste when they should have been in a bit more of a hurry earlier on. They should have checked their oil supply, gone to get what they needed. So should we. Are you checking if you have an oil supply? Can we put it like that? Are you checking? Those who have oil central heating and they have a tank outside, there might be this one way or another of finding out how much oil is in the tank, how much oil is left. And if there is some particular reason for needing the house heated and there's no oil left in the tank, they have to make haste, they have to rush around. And perhaps it's the office is closed and the depot is closed. There's no possibility of getting the oil in time for the visitors that are coming or whoever it is. Even in spite of making haste, he that believeth shall not make haste. Remember that. Take it with you to your knees. Go down on the knees of your soul just now and ask the Lord to bless you. Ask the Lord to give you a sense of urgency now while it is not too late. Yes. By taking heed to the word, to their ways, according to the word. I've been trying to set the word before you. You're to take heed in connection with the word. Young people in particular. Yes, I'm speaking to everyone, but I'm speaking to young people in particular. The text should make that obvious. I haven't always been stressing it, but you see, you've got the text to emphasize it to you. Yes. And what does the word tell us? In connection with cleansing our way, and cleansing our hearts, and cleansing our lives. There shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. And how was that fulfilled? That verse in Zechariah's prophecy, how is it fulfilled? It's fulfilled in this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He died, and he opened a fountain. The blood and the water flowed from his side. It was a sign of the cleansing power that comes through his death to sinners like you, like me. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that trusts in the saving merit of Christ, who trusts in Christ and the saving merit, who trusts in him who is on the right hand of God, making continual intercession, who trusts in him who is exalted, a prince and a saviour, to give repentance and the forgiveness of sins. There's a word I like to stress there. A word that should be very precious within the context of that verse. And that word is give. He is exalted to give these things that we cannot work out for ourselves. If we are concerned, how can I cleanse my way? How can I, with my the kind of heart that will not settle to spiritual things, how can I take heed to my way according to the word of God? It comes from the gift of God. It comes, I should be more particular in connection with the verse I've been referring to, it comes as the gift of Christ. Ask him for the free gift of faith, the free gift of repentance, the free gift of seriousness, the free gift of taking heed, the free gift of cleanse. The fountain has been opened. The provision has been made. Go to Christ. Yes, we must go to judgment. And one of the things that will be brought up one way or another will be what you heard this evening. Just a few thoughts from the word of God in relation to solemn matters, certain. Yeah. That you heard about cleansing your way, that you heard about death, judgment, and eternity. Oh, I hope it will not be held against what you did with Christ, what you did with the offer of salvation this evening. But what I hope is that either this evening or at some time in the past, having been called to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you did believe, when the foundation for salvation was pointed out to you, that you rested your soul by God's grace on that salvation, that when it was put to you that you must ask, that you did ask, that you asked for the Holy Spirit, that you asked for the power of God to come upon you through faith unto salvation, Yes. Did you do it? Are you doing it? To remember that death is before us. There's an appointment. The judgment is before us. There's an appointment. Eternity, endlessness, endless existence, either in heaven or in hell. That's before us. Sinner, come to Christ now. Hear him calling to you. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. May he bless his word to us. Lord, have mercy. Bless thy word. May it not rise against us in the church. May we be in earnest before thee. Give us earnestness. Give us a seeking spirit. Give us a sense of our need as sinners. Give us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us true repentance. Give us the Holy Spirit to work powerfully within us. Bless us, Lord. Remember us for good. Wash away all our sin. Be very, very, very gracious to all of us and to all connected with us. There are young ones who are not out this evening, but Lord, and some of them very young, but Lord, we would ask for thy blessing on them and on their parents in their responsible position, that they would all be seeking salvation, and the young ones would be brought to seek thee as they grow up. They would be even able to deal with their souls and put life in them when they are still too young to believe. That is not beyond thy power. But we would ask for thy saving work and mercy, Lord. It's mercy we need. May we not be coming for anything else. But help us to be saying from the heart, God be merciful to me a sinner. Bless thy word. Bless the congregation. Bless thy cause connected with us. Bless thy word as it goes forth everywhere. Bless the church as it exists in various parts of the world. Grant thine own purifying work in thy church and thy purifying work in the generation. Bring down Satan's kingdom. Bring down false religion. Bring down atheism. Everything else that is offensive to thee, and grant to deal graciously with each of us, deal graciously with our souls, draw us by almighty power, watch over us now and always, prepare us for eternity, wash away our sin, make us thankful for thy goodness to us over this communion season, and bless thy word now, for Jesus' sake, amen. Psalm 72, in conclusion, at verse 16, Psalm 72, of corn and handful in the earth, and tops of mountains high, with prosperous fruit shall shade, like trees in Lebanon that be, the city shall be flourishing, her citizens abound in number shall, like to the grass that grows upon the ground, from verse 16 to the end of the psalm, of corn and handful in the earth.